It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather. And he who controls the weather will control the world.
What did author Mark Twain have to say about the behavior of his fellow countrymen? He said this: "It is by the goodness of God that in our country we have those three unspeakably precious things, freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, and the prudence never to practice either." Again, from Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain. Why do people tend to reject new evidence? Because only a precious few seem willing to summon the courage and the will to rise above their biases, preconceptions, and programming. And facing the unvarnished truth head on is truly the only solace. In a world where the threats are closing in from every side, every single individual that any of us have any hand in helping to wake up, helping to expand their field of vision, matters. Every single individual we help to awaken matters, but that effort will require us all. This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour for December 9th, 2017. This is a commercial-free program brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM, Saturday mornings from 6 to 7 and Sunday mornings from 7 to 8. Global Alert News is also broadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Other broadcast stations are also picking up this program because it's easy for them to do so. We require nothing, no monetization whatsoever. There's no commercial interruptions. Very easy to have other stations pick this up and put it in some of their empty time slots. That's one way that activists can help to sound the alarm in their given area. Again, there is no monetary charge for using this program. We freely encourage its rebroadcasting. Orchard Nutrition is also stocked with informational materials. If you're in the Redding Shasta County area and you want to do your part to help sound the alarm, stop by Orchard. Grab a DVD on the vaccination dangers, on the lethal climate engineering danger, or 9/11. Share it, copy it, help others to wake up around you. Only by reaching a critical mass of awareness do we have any chance of turning the tide of the current insanity that we're all swimming in. Santa Barbara, California, today and tomorrow at the Earl Warren Showgrounds, the Jim Fair event is open. There's a Geoengineering Watch informational booth at that event, fully stocked with materials also, free materials. We're doing our best to help sound the alarm, but we need others to help us. This can't be done by a few on behalf of the many. It will require all of us in this battle. If you're in the Santa Barbara area, go there, show your support, get some materials, and help us to sound the alarm while it will still matter before Earth's life support systems are completely dysfunctional. More on that later in this broadcast. Legal update. Our ongoing behind-the-scenes legal efforts continue. As some may remember in a previous program, I announced that in addition to our suit in Canada, which is still ongoing, we have filed against the U.S. Department of Commerce, which is the overseeing agency for NOAA. NOAA was not giving us any information on our attorney's Freedom of Information request. NOAA is the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. We have now received some files from NOAA. There are redactions on those files. There are redactions on the emails contained in those files. No surprise, we have cover-up throughout our entire system of government at a scale that can scarcely be comprehended. We'll make more announcements when we can, but just so that activists understand, we are working diligently behind the scenes at geoengineeringwatch.org as our attorneys, but all our legal efforts ultimately center around the goal of reaching a critical mass of awareness in exposing the climate engineering insanity, which will drag so many other issues to the surface with it. Once the entire global population realizes it's been part of a grand and lethal experiment without their knowledge or consent, for which an experiment from which there is no return, there is no going back. We have been irreparably damaged. The planet has been irreparably damaged, and that damage continues each and every day. I'll get to more details on that in a few moments, but I'll preface this program with this critical reminder. Of all the challenges we face, all the causes and injustices that are worthy in and of themselves. When the planet no longer supports life, nothing else will matter. A fact we would all do well to consistently remember and consider. And what's my point? That if we don't properly prioritize, if we don't focus all the effort and energy we can muster in the attempt to salvage what is yet left of Earth's life support systems, soon, very soon, nothing else will matter. All other points will be moot. What's the greatest and most immediate threat to the biosphere and to the web of life, short of nuclear cataclysm? The ongoing global climate engineering insanity. That is the threat. The geoengineering weather terrorists are waging the latest round of weather warfare in California and other parts of the U.S. and around the world. It never stops. Nothing is untainted. But in regard to the California current firestorm cataclysm, here's a headline from TheVerge.com. California will burn until it rains, and climate change may keep future rains away. Let's stop there and ask this. What's missing from that headline? Climate engineering. You can't have a legitimate discussion about the climate without discussing climate engineering first and foremost. And you can't have a legitimate discussion about climate engineering without including chemical ice nucleation for weather modification, patented ice nucleating processes to create frozen precipitation out of what should have been rain, to create a cold layer on the ground, to try to confuse and divide the population. And I'll get to more of that story later in this broadcast, covering winter storm, quote, Benji, the latest creation from the climate engineers to distract the population from the fact that the U.S. West is burning to the ground. I'll get to that. But the bottom line is, when we see headlines like this, stating that as if it's a climate science or some sort of natural environmental fact that climate change is keeping the rains away from California, when we know for certain that climate engineering and all the elements involved with climate engineering are the single greatest disrupting factor with the hydrological cycle, and there's not even a mention of it, that means our climate science community, again, yet again, and the journalists who represent them are completely betraying populations of the planet and the entire web of life. On to the rain-blocking climate engineering processes in California. Here's a headline. New insights into the ridiculously, this is from multiple sources, by the way, new insights into the ridiculously resilient ridge in North American winter dipole. In the coming days, a remarkably persistent weather pattern will begin to develop. This is the headline that's just before the fires. Will start to develop across North America and adjacent ocean regions, characterized by strong high pressure near the west coast and low pressure over the eastern seaboard. Remember that, high pressure in the west, lower pressure toward the east. I'll elaborate on that later in this broadcast. High amplitude atmospheric wave pattern will essentially become locked in place. That's the high pressure dome over California for at least the next 2 weeks. How do they know that? Because it's the scheduled weather passed down to the National Weather Service and NOAA from private defense industry and geoengineering contractor Raytheon. It continues, leading to the prolonged stretches of unusual weather. California and much of the West will almost certainly experience an extended multi-week warm and dry spell, while much of the East Coast shivers through repeated blasts of cold air. Again, the scheduled weather from the geoengineers. In 2013, a curious feature began to emerge on the weather maps. It actually began in 2007, not reflected in this report. A region of unusually high atmospheric pressure known as the, quote, ridiculously resilient ridge in meteorological circles has consistently pushed the Pacific jet stream to the north of California, resulting in very dry conditions. Again, labeled the ridiculously resilient ridge due to its implausibly strong longevity. The triple R held strong straight through the entire winter and then reoccurred in slightly modified form throughout the winters of 2014 and 2015 and 2015 through 2016. The multi-year persistence of this anomalous atmospheric ridge is nothing short of extraordinary because there's nothing natural about it. Stop there. There's nothing natural about this ridge of high pressure. Nothing. Let me continue with this report and I'll elaborate on why this ridge is being put in place, what its purpose is for the geoengineers. Bear with me. This report finishes. The co-occurrence of record low precipitation and record high temperatures associated with the triple R, the ridiculously resilient ridge, ultimately yielded California's most severe multi-year drought on record. Final 2 points in this report. Atmospheric pressure patterns similar to the ridiculously resilient ridge are now occurring more frequently than in the previous decades, and the unprecedented magnitude and persistence of the West Coast ridging can be traced to regionally accentuated warming of the lower atmosphere. No mention of climate engineering, no mention of the ionosphere heater installations like HARP that are the causal factor for this ridge. This is the final statement from the report. As is often the case in scientific endeavors, these early findings raise more questions than answers because the science community is not looking for real answers. They're trying to cover up the tracks of the climate engineers. That's what they're paid to do. They're betraying populations in the web of life. Here's some answers. Let me give some answers for what this report didn't give. The ridiculously resilient ridge is a direct result of, again, global network of ionosphere heaters like HARP, like the HARP facility in Alaska. These installations can and are creating massive high-pressure zones. When the massively powerful radio frequency microwave transmissions, millions of watts, are focused on regions of the upper atmosphere, specifically the ionosphere, the transmissions cause an electrical chain reaction in the ionosphere, which radically heats that layer. The expanding bubble of heated atmosphere pushes up and down. The downward push is the creation of the high-pressure dome. This is not speculation. The U.S. military has long since admitted to the existence of such facilities. The stated purpose of heating the atmosphere and creating the expanding regions I just covered is this: to create resistance to a potential incoming ICBM, intercontinental ballistic missile, and thus to reportedly defend against it. But the blatantly obvious climate modification use is never mentioned. What else do the high-pressure zones allow the weather makers to do? These zones allow them to steer the upper-level wind currents, the jet stream. Why would they want to do that, many ask? The upper-level winds are the key to steering and controlling the weather. That's exactly what they're doing. Back to the ridiculously resilient ridge in California. This ionosphere heater-induced high-pressure dome spins clockwise in the atmosphere, like a giant gear in the climate system. The jet stream must spin around it, up and over it, and then back down in the lower 48 states, further to the east of the fried and dried West Coast. This creates a massive dip in the jet stream. Welcome to the recently named polar vortex. This is how this is constructed. The climate science communities make up the terms as they go, in order to cover the tracks of the climate engineers and to give legitimacy to the newly created scenarios that are directly related to climate engineering. By the way, this includes the naming of about a dozen and a half new clouds that apparently never existed before. When you give a name to the cloud, like Undulatus apparatus, sounds very official, sounds very natural and scientific, even though it's a result of climate engineering. The population accepts that, and thus is all too happy to stay in their denial, not noticing the otherworldly skies above their heads every day with jet aircraft spewing toxic aerosols into the sky to modify the climate. Now, to connect all that I've just described to so-called Winter Storm Benji, which was just engineered to bring a small shot of patented chemically ice-nucleated snow to the most populated regions of the U.S. and the East Coast, this snow is created with moisture drawn straight from the record warm waters of the Gulf of Mexico. How does that work out exactly? Here's how. The jet stream spins clockwise, as I stated. In the western U.S., jet stream goes up and around that, rotates it back downward around a counterclockwise rotating low-pressure zone. Again, high and low-pressure zones created with ionosphere heaters and aerosol operations. This low-pressure zone spins counterclockwise. So picture a fan on the front of a car with a fan belt spinning around various wheels, and that's exactly what you have happening with the jet stream, spinning up and over the high pressure in the west, back down, spinning counterclockwise around the low pressure, like a gear with a fan belt around it. That low pressure picks up moisture from the Gulf of Mexico, and that moisture is then streamed up through the southeast along the east coast of the U.S. The moisture is then saturated with patented chemical ice nucleating elements. You can search this on geoengineeringwatch.org, by the way. Search geoengineeringwatch.org, chemical ice nucleation for weather modification, or geoengineeringwatch.org, engineering winter snowstorms, etc. But the chemical ice nucleating elements are then sprayed over and into the migrating moisture from geoengineering jet aircraft. The result, in this case, is Winter Storm Benji. Snow is no longer associated with elevation. You're either on the cold side of the storm or the warm side of the storm. Since when? And people don't even notice this change. And that it's snowing so often at temperatures far above freezing. And then it cools down on the surface for a while. If you put enough ice in the ice chest, you can cool it down no matter how hot it is outside. You have a cold, dense layer sitting on the ground, as I've described over and over, that's created from chemically ice nucleating elements in the atmospheric moisture overhead. So, again, we have Winter Storm Benji causing a distraction from the western burn down, from the burn down of the planet, the meltdown that's occurring all over the globe, massive media distraction, the illusion of winter, etc., frying the U.S. West to create, as I stated, the illusion of winter in the U.S. East. The targets of the chemically ice-nucleated cooldowns are generally the most populated regions of the country. By impacting the maximum percentage of the population, the illusion of winter, again, on a planet that's spiraling into total meltdown, is created. The power structure-owned weather forecasting agencies like the Weather Channel then go into overdrive with their hyping up of the so-called winter storm, giving very little coverage of the soaring temperatures and melting ice all over the globe, all of which is being made worse overall by the highly toxic climate engineering insanity. Geoengineering can and is creating short-term toxic cooldowns at the cost of an even worse planetary meltdown. Geoengineering is not mitigation for climate change. It's actually helping to fuel the fire overall. Here's a new headline from The Independent in the UK. Quote, worst-case global warming predictions are the most accurate, say climate experts. How long have I said at geoengineeringwatch.org that, yes, Al Gore's statements of the climate were wrong? Not correct, but in the opposite direction of what most people would like to believe. It's far worse than anything Al Gore ever stated. Far worse, far more immediate. Climate engineering making it worse still. And now, finally, we have some in academia starting to show some courage, saying, hey, it's as bad as our worst-case scenario, which is still far short of how bad it is. This report states this. There's a 93% chance that global warming will exceed 4 degrees C by the end of the century. Lead scientists say, current predictions of climate change may significantly underestimate the speed and severity of global warming, according to a new study. Now, let's remember where they got the term climate change. After 1998, when climate engineering was really ramped up, been going on for decades previously, but really ramped up, they needed a term that would make people think going from extremely high temperatures to snow in a day was normal, just part of, quote, climate change. Not normal. It happens because they're chemically nucleating with patented chemical ice nucleation processes, jet stream manipulation. That's why the radical swings of weather whiplash are happening. Weather whiplash will get far worse as the climate engineer's desperation, which is a direct reflection of the power structure desperation, continues to exponentially become more panicked. They are panicked at this point, trying to pacify the population until the last possible moment. It's far worse than almost anyone yet realizes. And this is where it's imperative to remember that this equation is not linear. You can't look backward at a graph for 200 years and say it took the climate this long to get this bad, so it'll take a specific amount of time to get that much worse. Not true. Non-linear equation. Understand what that means. And for everything I say on this program and every program, I don't ask or don't want anyone to believe anything I say. What I'm asking is for individuals to abandon their preconception, bias, and programming and actually do some research. And that's not easy for the human species to do. We're a very programmable organism. We tend to follow that programming, and very few find the courage to overcome that. I'm asking people to find that courage, do real research, not to believe me, but do real research, and to help us to sound the alarm. The only way forward in this battle. Critical mass of awareness. Consider this headline from multiple sources. Humans are changing the climate 170 times faster than nature, say researchers. It's important to remember and understand that, because so many people say the climate change is, it's just natural. Well, you could relate that to this equation, which I've given before. It's like shooting someone in the back of the head and saying, people die. It's natural. It just happens. Well, it wouldn't have happened right then had you not shot someone in the back of the head or run them over in a crosswalk or thrown them off a building. Nothing natural about that. And that's what the human race has done to the planet. In last week's broadcast, I covered a headline that stated, if the oceans had not absorbed all the excess heat from anthropogenic activity or human activity, the average terrestrial temperature would now be at 122 degrees, a shocking and deadly increase from the current average of 59 degrees. And such an increase in air temperatures would, of course, extinguish all complex terrestrial life on our planet. Even a small fraction of that increase would do the same. And many have asked how it could be possible for so much heat to be held in the oceans if the oceans themselves are nowhere near that warm. Here's how. Because the report didn't state this, and I went on to other reports, and I should have elaborated at that point, and I apologize that I didn't. I'm doing that now. Here's the math that that headline I covered was based on. And this is imperative to remember. This is very simple. A cubic meter of seawater contains 4,000 times the thermal energy of a cubic meter of air. 4,000 times more. So picture a large pot of water on the stove, turning the gas burner on underneath. It takes a long time for that to heat up. A long time. If it's cool water especially. But if you put the same pot with a lid on it with just air inside, how quick do you think that air would heat up? Immediately. Almost immediately. And that's why it's so important to remember, if all that thermal energy that's heated the oceans many degrees since the start of the Industrial Revolution, if you took that same amount of thermal energy completely out of the oceans and put it into the air, because the air heats so much more easily, it would be 122 degrees right now. The oceans have masked the severity of what's happening. The power structure knows this. They absolutely know it. And they've done their best to bottle up that heat in the oceans. That's why in recent years, back to the ridiculously resilient ridge over the West Coast, blowing that hot air offshore over the oceans to try to get the oceans to bottle up some of that heat. And that's what's happened. Intervention with the climate system, the single greatest form of human insanity ever launched by the human race. Climate intervention, epitome of human insanity. So to clarify again, how it could be 122 degrees, because if you took that massive amount of thermal energy and put it in the atmosphere, that's how hot it would be. Here's a headline from 2013 from Salon.com that should be understood. It relates to what I just covered. This forgotten and swept under the rug headline was published by Salon.com in 2013, but it's very relevant. Here's the headline. Last year, the oceans warmed at a rate of 12 Hiroshima bombs per second. What does that mean? It means the thermal energy contained in 12 Hiroshima bombs every single second is how fast the oceans were heating. Incomprehensibly fast. We're traveling toward a planet that will not sustain life at light speed. At light speed. We do not have much time on this course. It's imperative to understand that. Single greatest leap we could take in the right direction is to expose and halt climate engineering. From this report, though, from Salon.com, think global climate change hasn't been very noticeable from where you're standing? Question mark. Down in the oceans, which is to say the majority of Earth's surface, temperatures spiked last year, i.e. 2013, as warming proceeded at an incredibly rapid pace, i.e. back to the 12 Hiroshima bombs per second. SkepticalScience.com calls attention to the ocean's temperature rise for the final quarter of 2013, which literally was almost off the charts. Put in terms that are easy or horrifying to visualize, Skeptical Science explains that the oceans used to be warming at a rate of 2 Hiroshima bombs per second. Over the past 16 years, which means up to 2013, that rate doubled to 4 Hiroshima bombs per second, and I've covered that in previous programs. But in 2013, the warming became so dramatic that it was equivalent to 12 Hiroshima bombs per second. Non-linear equation. Can't state that enough. There's perhaps as many as 50 feedback loops in full swing right now. Everything starts to feed on itself. This is called Venus syndrome. Look that one up. Don't believe me? Look it up. Here's a headline from Science Magazine. I'm going to keep driving into the state of the imploding biosphere, and then in a moment I'll relate that to the mass distraction still occupying the attention of American citizens and many around the globe. Here's a headline from Science Magazine. Vanishing Arctic ice could drive future California droughts. Relating back to the cover-up of climate engineering, ionosphere heater-induced high-pressure zones, we have yet another report from, again, Science Magazine, completely ignoring the climate engineering elephant in the room and blaming California droughts, which are a direct result of climate engineering. And we're not guessing. We have satellite imagery of massive aerosol spraying for anybody who bothers to take the time to look, of grid patterns over the Pacific Ocean every single day. And it's shocking to look at these pictures because there's nothing normal anymore with the weather. Nothing. Everything's tainted. We have massive floating banks of featureless aerosol skies. We have tainted, hazy, cobwebby-looking overhead canopies above us that are an unimaginable amount of toxic aerosols being sprayed by jet aircraft as part of solar radiation management, which is simply, again, the epitome of human insanity. Solar radiation management that's destroying the ozone layers, I've covered in previous programs and will cover again, disrupting the hydrological cycle, contaminating the entire planet, every breath we take. And we have populations that are all too happy to look down at their iPhones and pretend nothing's wrong. And we have weathermen reading a script because they have no courage, no honor, no morality, reading a script that ultimately comes from Raytheon, giving us forecasts of mostly sunny or on the Weather Channel with their paid actor liars. And that's exactly what they are. And if they want to sue me for saying that, go ahead and try. Reading a script and trying to explain away why it's snowing in New Orleans yesterday, while it's record high temperatures in Florida. Now put that together, snowing in New Orleans and other parts of the Deep South while it's record high temperatures in Florida, a stone throw away. Chemical ice nucleation for weather modification, creating a cold dense layer on the ground, chemically nucleating what should have been rain into snow, and creating the illusion of winter on a planet that's in meltdown. So back to this headline, vanishing ice could drive future California drought, simply a cover-up for the climate engineers who intend to keep this scenario going. So they want to pretend it's natural and convince the population it's just some natural consequence, which it is not. From this report, California's recent five-year drought, it's not 5 years, it's since 2007, was brutal. Houseboats sat on lake beds, groundwater supplies dwindled, and thousands of fish literally baked to death. Scientists consider it the worst such event the Golden State has seen in 1,000 years. Now a new study identifies an unexpected suspect thousands of kilometers to the north, an iceless Arctic Ocean, which we're about to have, by the way. The finding, a new atmospheric mechanism that links the Arctic melting to conditions further south. This is all nothing but absolute propaganda to hide the tracks of the climate engineers who control every single peer-reviewed institution out there. How do they control it? Because the central bankers print the money as much as they want. For those who don't understand how the monetary system works, they fund militaries, they control institutions, they control everything down the ladder. And how can they get away with this? Because the population is all too happy being distracted. Won't be happy much longer as we hit the wall, and we're hitting the wall now. Isn't it interesting and alarming that as the biosphere implodes again, the U.S. population is more concerned with getting things like tax cuts, which in reality is only a benefit to those in power. What a surprise. And as if any of this, as I stated, will matter on a dead planet. Nevertheless, here's a headline from truthdig.com. As the web of life unravels, here's what Americans are focused on. America's war on America. The vultures have started circling. In a sane world, legislation that adds $1.5 trillion to America's debt, which doesn't matter to the central bankers, by the way, and the debt's already over $20 trillion and rising, would not be celebrated as just what the country needs to get growing again. This is the current administration's Make America Great Again. Just add to the debt. You can print money to hide it in any way you can, and let's pretend the biosphere's not imploding. So with the new U.S. tax cut, is nothing but more smoke and mirrors. This is massive distraction. This is the kind of story, I only covered this story because it's an example of the mass distraction that the U.S. population is worried about or focusing on while the planet implodes around them. And even this tax cut is nothing but smoke and mirrors and a sham that actually increases the revenues of the plutocrats and the oligarchs who run the nations and does nothing for the population. And again, none of this means anything and will mean anything in the geologic blink of an eye as the biosphere implodes. And let's remember this. Historically, the environment has produced 75% of all global GDP for free. No more. No more. So in this article, America's War on America, we see smoke and mirrors, the illusion of a tax cut, keep the population busy, keep them distracted, while the climate engineers wreak havoc on the planet, while the military-industrial complex wreaks war and destruction all over the globe. And for most Americans, so long as it doesn't for the moment affect them, or they don't think it is, they could care less. That's a recipe for certain near-term global omnicide. The American population is perhaps the last potentially counterbalancing factor to the cancerous cabal that currently runs the planet. If they would just wake up. Just wake up. And waking them up is a responsibility that must be borne by, again, all of us. More on that later in this program. Another headline from ABC officials. U.S. officials drop mining cleanup rule after industry objects. We're living in a fascist nation. Corporations run the government. Central bankers run the government. From this report, President Donald Trump's administration announced Friday, this is a week ago Friday, that it won't require mining companies to prove they have financial wherewithal to clean up their pollution, despite an industry legacy of abandoned mines that have fouled waterways across the U.S. Let's just keep the fossil fuel fiesta going until there's nothing left. And now that sort of mentality is on steroids. Complete gutting of environmental protection. And this includes the ramping up of the most destructive environmental factor of all, climate engineering. And for those who are waving their Trump flags, the Trump administration is all for climate engineering. Look it up. Geoengineeringwatch.org, Trump administration. You'll find that article. They're doubling down, increasing climate engineering from every direction. The assault on the planet is being ramped up. And understand this. Oceans die, we die. Forests die, we die. Climate system unravels, we die. It's happening on every front. That's the road we're on. Here's a headline from New Scientist. Mystery radiation clouds may pose risk to air travelers. Again, we're back to one of those headlines that would compare to saying jumping off a 100-story building and landing on the sidewalk could hurt you. That's how ridiculous these headlines are. From this report, danger zones in the air where radiation levels surge could pose an unrecognized health hazard. Again, hitting the sidewalk after falling from a 100-story building could cause a health hazard. That's what this compares to. Airliners may have to avoid these in the future, just as they do with volcanic ash clouds, to minimize any risk to travelers and crew. We already have aerotoxic syndrome, 10,000 pilots and other personnel suing. All of this gets swept under the rug. But again, even stories like this will be pushed to the side when the planet doesn't support life. All of this is connected, all of it's intertwined, but that's the bottom line. And we are on the fast track to end up exactly there. And for those who feel helpless, when they hear all this sort of news, they feel helpless. I'll get to this more at the end of this program, but we're not helpless. We're absolutely not helpless, none of us. All of us can and must help to turn the current tide, to alter the course of our species, and that comes from every single one of us. Doing what each of us can to wake those around us and asking them to do the same. And there's effective and efficient ways to do this. I list that on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. It's all there. It's always there. But until or unless we fully face reality, we have no chance of understanding what we need to do and how we need to change directions. Example I've given in the past, if you're standing in the freeway, are you better off turning your back to traffic or facing it? I think that answer is quite obvious. We must face reality before we can know how to deal with it. And for those on the radiation, back to the dying oceans, which I just mentioned, again, many are thinking dichotomously or very black and white that it's all Fukushima. That's not true. Fukushima is a huge problem, but we have the heating oceans I just mentioned, massive problem, destroyed ozone layer. There's many causes for so much that's happening on our planet. We must look at the whole picture. And on that note, I would encourage anybody to search mass animal deaths for 2017 and look at that list. It's a website that puts out the list. It's shocking, absolutely shocking. And in regard to how severely the effort to sustain life is becoming in some regions, here's a headline. This headline is from New Scientist, by the way. Africa's giraffes are being slaughtered by Joseph Kony's army. From New Scientist, elephants, giraffes, and chimpanzees are being decimated by poachers in Central Africa for food. They're eating giraffes and elephants for food. We have species loss happening right now at unimaginable rates. We've lost over 60% of Earth's wildlife in the last 40 years, and that rate is accelerating by the day, losing 200 to 300 species of plant, animal, and insect to extinction every single day. And for the record, for those who would like to claim that that's just normal, creatures have always come and gone, that's 15,000 times the background extinction rate, which is 1.5% of normal. There's nothing normal about that. Mass starvation on planet Earth is much closer than almost any yet comprehend. Easter Island scenario is already beginning to play out on our planet. And for those who are not familiar with what happened on Easter Island, an investigation for you is warranted. In summary, the island's inhabitants completely consumed all their resources. Much of the resources were used building massive idols, much like our species does today. Idols to everything imaginable, in our case. And then they began to consume themselves. Cannibalism erupted as their civilization completely collapsed. Those who try to convince themselves that this couldn't happen with so-called modern civilization are sadly mistaken. And why are the majority of first world populations from industrialized countries so completely oblivious and apathetic toward the very real and immediate threats that are closing in from all sides? As I stated earlier, in addition to social conditioning, cultural programming, and power structure propaganda, there's, of course, the mountain of heavy metals raining down on us from the climate engineering fallout, including aluminum. There's the aluminum and mercury being injected into populations in the form of vaccinations. There's the radio frequency microwave smog we're all swimming in. There's the GMO and chemical-laden toxic food we're fed. And there's, of course, the neurotoxin industrial waste product fluoride that has been put into our water by the power structure. And let's ask this, how and why could any sane population not only allow that, but actually pretend there was that it was safe and that there was actually some sort of health benefit to drinking fluoride? And this can only be considered a form of collective insanity on the part of populations and to the benefit of the power structure, of course, making populations more docile and apathetic, as I just described. I'll cover this subject in more detail with next week's program. But the bottom line again is this, fluoride makes populations apathetic and docile, unassertive. And we certainly see that, along with everything else I described, affecting that equation. More headlines. Now, what happens is the biosphere implodes, the power structure, the military-industrial complex pushes toward global conflict because it's the only card they have left to play. Here's the headline. U.S. military drills North Korean border. In the largest ever military drill, U.S. orders 16,000 troops, 230 jets to simulate war with North Korea. What would the U.S. do if North Korea did that on our border? I bring this up again and again and again. But Americans, unfortunately the majority, think it's fine that we're there spreading, quote, freedom and democracy by provoking war. But yet, if that happened anywhere near us, Americans would be absolutely livid. Total hypocrisy. Total hypocrisy. So we have the U.S. media, in the case of covering up climate engineering and covering up the hostile actions of our military-industrial complex, doing their job, deceiving the population that is unfortunately all too happy to be deceived. More military drills on the border of Korea. Another headline. Multiple sources. Media silent as Israel attacks Iranian military base, provoking war just like they said they would. From this report, as mainstream media focuses on President Trump's latest tweet, his administration continues to support a close ally that appears to be pushing for yet another war. Israel has reportedly attacked an Iranian military base in Syria. U.S. citizens, Israeli citizens, of course, would never stand for that if the equation was reversed. Never. Who are the real provocateurs here? Who? As I stated in a number of earlier programs, who released the Stuxnet virus, U.S. and Israel? That was likely a huge part of why Fukushima happened. More headlines. This from the Times of India. U.S. pulls out of UN's global compact on migration. U.S. is pulling out of everything because it's now the current trajectory is an all-out free-for-all of military, industrial, fossil fuel consumption insanity until nothing's left. That's where we're headed. Back to the report from the Times of India. United Nations, the administration of President Donald Trump has withdrawn the United Nations from a United Nations pact to improve the handling of migrant and refugee situations, deeming it, quote, inconsistent with its policies. The U.S. mission to the global body announced on Saturday. So our military goes to other countries, blows them up, destroys their country, or facilitates the destruction of their country by using proxy forces, creates massive migrant problems by destroying all the infrastructure in that country, supposedly to spread freedom and democracy, and then we wash our hands of the humanitarian cataclysm it creates. That's our policy. And we claim to be giving to other countries around the globe. Couldn't be further from the truth. We're giving them something. We're giving them unimaginable misery. And we know if they're doing biological experiments on our populations, which I've announced in previous programs, obviously they're going on with other populations in which massive ailments seem to immediately result. And we know from the vaccinations, a U.S.-based policy, we know now from peer-reviewed study that the vaccinated children in Africa are 5 times more likely to die in the first 5 months of their life, 500% more likely to die. I could go on and on. I've covered much of this in the past, but the bottom line is completely out of control military-industrial complex. Another headline, Israeli professor says, quote, we could destroy all European capitals. Now, for those who will never question the U.S. and Israel, pay attention. An Israeli professor and military historian hinted that Israel could avenge the Holocaust by not, as if, what kind of sickness is this, as if the people living today have anything to do with the Holocaust, by annihilating millions of Germans and other Europeans. He said, quote, we possess several hundred atomic warheads and rockets and can launch them at targets in all directions, perhaps even at Rome. Most European capitals are targets of our air force. Asked if he was worried about Israel becoming a rogue state if it carried out a genocidal deportation against Palestinians, this professor, Creveld, quoted a former Israeli defense minister, Moshe Dayan, who said this, Israel must be like a mad dog, too dangerous to bother. The quote finishes with this, our armed forces are not the 13th strongest in the world, but rather the second or third. We have the capability to take the world down with us. And I can assure you that this will happen before Israel goes under. What do you think would happen if North Korea made such a statement? What do you think would happen? But when high-ranking Israeli academicians make such a statement, it goes completely unnoticed. Total hypocrisy. Now, back to Israelis' attack on Syria, the recent attack. Let's weave this into a larger context so that it paints a clearer picture. Syria, who didn't invade anyone, just like Iran hasn't invaded anybody for 230 years, but we have an imploding environment, an ever more desperate military-industrial complex, U.S. and its allies, Israel, Saudi Arabia, strange bedfellows. They're all desperate. And in the case of Syria, not allowing a Western power structure pipeline through its country, part of the reasons they were invaded, toppled, destabilized. And now we have those who serve the legions of order followers and organizations who serve the power structure, Israel, U.S., Saudi Arabia, there are more, and how they try to program the population to accept these acts of aggression. So back to the recent strike on Syria by Israel. Here's the headline. This is from multiple sources. How a dubious BBC report gave Israel the, quote, green light for the attack on Syria. Last month, the BBC revealed a claim that Iran was building a permanent military base near a town in Syria. A series of satellite images showed construction at the location of the alleged base, which was made known to BBC by an unnamed Western intelligence source. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has previously warned that Israel would not allow Iran to establish any military base in Syria. So it appears the BBC is playing war propagandist for Israel. Instead of including any level of critical inquiry regarding Israel's unprovoked act of aggression against its neighbor, in short, the BBC spread what it acknowledged to be a, quote, mere claim based solely on a, quote, unnamed Western intelligence source. Then Israel used that claim to attack Syria, after which BBC in circular fashion justified the attack based on its own original dubious claim. Just like the media here. Just like the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. This model is so old it's unimaginable, and the American population continues to gulp it down. All of these headlines, all of these stories are all intertwined, from back to the biosphere implosion that I cover again and again and again, the desperation of the power structure that it forces, the individual acts of provocation that I just got done covering. One more I'll cover in a moment. All of it's connected. All of it's related to biosphere implosion and desperation by the power structure. Here's another headline from multiple sources. Another war is brewing in the Persian Gulf. In the Persian Gulf, another conflict is brewing between Saudi Arabia and Iran. Been over this in previous programs. U.S. and U.K. supplying Saudi Arabia completely tyrannical dictatorship with weapons so that they can wage a proxy war on countries where resources exist and where the Western power structure wants those resources. That's what it's all about. The cancer of the military-industrial complex has one agenda. Because many ask this all the time, why would they do this to themselves? Because a cancer doesn't care that it's killing its host. It doesn't even consider that. A cancer intends to proliferate at any cost without ever considering that it will kill itself in the end as well. It's imperative for us all to take the time to understand the bigger picture, to consider what we're dealing with, and we are not dealing with sanity. And all those who serve that power structure, and there are legions, legions down to local agencies, elected officials, all those who have convinced themselves that their purpose in life is to pursue their own paradigm, which they feel is only possible by serving that power structure with which produces their paychecks and their pensions. And if this is the meaning of life, then life has no real meaning. If the meaning in life is to be a part of something greater, something bigger than yourself, a part of the whole, to serve the greater good, then legions of order followers need to take a long, hard look in the mirror and understand that they are a part of the cancer. And if they continue to be a part of the cancer, we have no chance, no chance of even near-term survival on this planet. So let's remember this about the current out-of-control military-industrial cabal that's most likely to ignite World War III on our planet. Let's remember the Trump administration made a deal earlier this year to sell the Saudis hundreds of billions in weapons, as did the UK. Remember the Saudis recently beheaded over 40 political activists and hung their bodies from cranes. Remember the Saudis are carrying out, as I stated, acts of genocide in Yemen. Remember that the Saudis were appallingly given the head position on the UN Human Rights Council. This is the U.S. ally, Saudis. We never hear anything about them in a negative context, do we? Why? Because they have oil. Back to everything I've described in this program. It's about resources. Those who have and are willing to give those resources to the military-industrial complex are protected. Those who have the resources and are not willing to give them to the military-industrial complex, in this case the Western power structure, are toppled and destabilized. Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, I could go on. In fact, let me go on. For those who have not heard previous programs and don't yet understand how the dots connect, on all the countries I just named that were destabilized, toppled, now in anarchy, now resources are being extracted from those countries by the Western power structure. Let's go back to 9/11. I know some have heard this, but many haven't. 1 week after 9/11, General Wesley Clark, who was told of all the Middle Eastern countries that were going to be taken down, 1 week after 9/11. Why? Because the empire knew it needed resources. That's why the false flag of 9/11 was carried out. Anyone who doesn't realize or accept that it's a false flag is not living in reality. Buildings don't collapse on their own. And it's amazing. It's astounding. How many people I talked to who had no idea there was a third building that collapsed. For those who still want to irrationally believe that 9/11 was exactly like the official narrative says it was, search Building 7 collapse, look at that, never got hit by anything, and then try to accept the official narrative. You can't. It's illogical, irrational, and completely absurd. False flag event used to galvanize the American public in their power structure propaganda, as I brought up earlier in this program, and to get the American population to accept the empire's imperial aggression all over the globe. All of these dots so clearly connect if anybody takes the time to look at them. The propensity of populations to hide from reality in order to focus fully on their own personal paradigms is a primary reason the human race is now free-falling toward a mathematically certain near-term planetary omnicide. Total collapse. Total extinction. This is the path we're on. Cosmologist Carl Sagan made the following statement, and we would all do well to consider it deeply and constantly. He said this, listen, look again at that dot. He's speaking of Earth. That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you know, love, and everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives. The aggregate of our joy and suffering, thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines. Every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, hopeful child, inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every quote supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam, i.e. planet Earth. The Earth is a very small stage in a vast cosmic arena. Think of the endless cruelties visited by the inhabitants of one corner of this pixel on the scarcely distinguishable inhabitants of some other corner. How frequent their misunderstandings, how eager they are to kill one another, how fervent their hatred. Think of the rivers of blood spilled by all those generals and emperors so that in glory and triumph they could become the momentary masters of a fraction of a dot. Our posturings, our imagined self-importance, the delusion that we have some privileged position in the universe are challenged by this point of pale light. Our planet is a lonely speck in the great enveloping cosmic dark. In our obscurity and all this vastness, there is no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves. The Earth is the only world so far known to harbor life. There is nowhere else, at least in the near future, to which our species could migrate. The Earth is where we make our stand. It has been said that of astronomy, it is a humbling and character-building experience. There is perhaps no better demonstration of the folly of human conceits that this distant image of our tiny world reveals. It underscores our responsibility to deal more kindly with one another, as well as our responsibility to preserve and cherish the pale blue dot, the only home we've ever known. That's very sobering and something any of us that are operating with a sound sense of reason should deeply and constantly consider. We are decimating our miraculous home, planet Earth. In previous years, I relished taking sabbaticals into the wilderness which surround my home, trailless wilderness areas that I would trek into and stay for a day or two. And think, I felt as if I was in some areas on top of a remote mountaintop on an island and somehow separated from the insanity, but I couldn't stay there long, and now I can't go there at all because I can only think about and focus on how we can yet cause the avalanche of awareness that is so desperately needed. The only way forward, and I hear from so many people again who want to convince themselves there's some silver bullet that we can utilize that will fix everything, and that's not reality. It's not reality. There's no guarantee of a happy ending to this drama that we find ourselves in. There's never been a guarantee. Life has always been a seasonal occupation throughout humanity, throughout human existence. It's a seasonal occupation. The season is not very long. And what do you want to be found doing when you take your last breath? No matter how the story turns out, if you are on the right path, doing the right thing for the right reason, because it's the right thing to do, not because you're guaranteed a happy ending, not because you're guaranteed a specific result, because it's the right thing to do only, and that's why you're doing it. How could that story not end well? If you've done everything you can for the greater good, given your particular situation, how can that not be the right path? It is the right path. And for those who feel helpless, again, all of us, there's instructions on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org, how you can help, how you can wake others. Use credible materials from a credible source. Arm yourself with those materials and understand that you are in a fight for life. All of us are in a fight for life, and that fight is very real and very immediate. Against whatever resistance that is shown to you by family and friends, it is up to each of us to stand on credible truth and know that those others around us will soon, very soon, be forced to wake up and face reality. But it's up to us to plant the seeds that they will need, the dots they need to connect and form a picture and understand how we got here and what we must do to change directions. This responsibility must be borne by us all. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org. Make your voice heard while it still matters.